Welcome to Kingdom Living Today with Apostle Desiree Andrews, broadcasting from iKingdom Ministry Studio in Tallahassee, Florida. Join Apostle Des with today's word just for you.
Well, blessings. Hello, and God bless you. God bless you. I'm Apostle Des, and I want to welcome you and thank you for joining me here on Kingdom Living Today. So I have some guests that I would like to bring in. You've seen her before. She's been here with us, her and her husband, and I want you to all join me in helping to welcome Dr. Marva Brewington and her husband, Stan.
Hello.
How are you? God bless you. It's good to see you all once again. How's it all going?
It's going good. It's been a while. Appreciate you bringing us in, Doctor. I'm calling you Doctor, but you are Doctor. Apostle Des.
Yes, and we're excited to be here.
Good. It's good to see you all again, and I'm glad that you are able to join us here. Been a while, but I thank God for you and everything that you all are doing, not only in ministry, but in your business and how God is just blessing. And I want to go ahead and, if you will, I want to jump right in there, but I want to start before we get into our topic for tonight. I just want to start with, again, you telling us a little bit about yourselves.
All right. You want me to go? Absolutely. Go ahead. Okay. All right. So as she mentioned, my name is Dr. Marva. Feel free to call me Marva. A little bit about me, I guess on a personal level, I kind of wear one of those many hats. You know, I've said for years that I'm a person of many, many hats. I'm one of those ones, put a hat on, put another one, take that one off, put another one on, take another one off. That's just me all day long. So I'm constantly wearing a million hats. But on a personal level, who am I? Well, I'm a wife to this wonderful man right here. As of today, 32 years of marriage.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, super yes. Excited about that. And so, he's my right hand. I mean, he is my support system, 100%. Matter of fact, 110%. He's always in my corner by my side. He's the one that can love and correct at the same time. So... that's who I am. I'm a wife of this wonderful man here. And from our union, we have two adult children. We have one that's a millennial and another one who claims to be a millennial, even though she's really Gen Z. And she doesn't want to lay claim to the fact that she's Gen Z. But we have two adult children that are married. And from that union of our first child, we have two wonderful grandchildren. We have a grandson that's 4 years old. And we have a granddaughter that's 1 year old, and both of them are full of personality, full of energy. They keep us going. You know, that's why we're here. So that's me on a personal level. But on a professional level, I wear a couple hats. So you know me, Apostle Des, as being the minister for many, many years. Well, I've kind of do ministry in a different way now than what I was doing before. But my two professional hats that I wear on a professional level, I'm a full-time assistant professor at an online university, which happens to be one of my passions. I love that very, very much because I get a chance to educate. I've been an educator for over 20 years. So whether that's been educating in a classroom or educating across the pulpit, educating on whatever platform it is, that's basically who I am. And then my other professional hat is another area that I'm super passionate about. It's one of my newer hats, but it's that entrepreneur hat that I'm wearing. That of a mortgage loan officer, as well as a credit specialist advocate, where I merge those two together and I'm able to get out there and help our community to kind of get in position for home ownership. So that's a little bit about me. I'll turn it over to my wonderful husband.
Hey, everyone. I'll just describe myself as the rock.
Yeah.
The foundation for my wife, my children, my grandkids. I am the rock for my family. And I'm the one to make sure whatever needs to get done gets done, right?
Absolutely.
Like my wife, I wear a couple different hats myself. Well, that's me on a personal level. But me at a professional level, I work in corporate America, been in corporate America for close to 30 years and done a little of everything in telecom. I currently right now support government accounts for a SaaS platform that helps them to manage their fleet. So the other hat that I wear is I'm now new joining the team with my wife, where we can get in here and help people to improve their credit and move from credit into a home. So I'm new to the business, learning from my wife, getting all my certifications. So those are a couple of hats I wear as well, but we're excited to talk about what it is we're doing to help our community and excited to see what comes out of it.
Absolutely.
All right. So that's very exciting. Very exciting what you guys are into. And I love it on both avenues, on all avenues of what you're doing, because it's kind of helping the full person, the whole mm-hmm. person. So you got the spiritual side covered, you got the physical side. And I mean, it is just amazing what you are doing. Just tell us a little bit, and before we get into tonight's topic again, a little bit about your actual ministry and the name of it. And, you know, we'll get into how people can get in contact with you and all of that. But because you wear several hats, I understand how that is. You know, somebody may be looking and coming on here, seeing this, and it's like, okay, well, you know, she can help me with so many aspects. He can help me with so many aspects. So if you will, just let us know a little bit about your ministry.
Well, that ministry that you knew me to have many years ago, I'm in a different season. So unless God says otherwise, I'm not necessarily doing pulpit or platform ministry at this point. I'm doing more individualized ministry, ministering into the lives of individuals that need our assistance and need our help, especially in our community, and helping our community to be properly positioned, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of, you know, getting what needs to be done in order to achieve that American dream of owning their own home. And so with that, I have had quite a few opportunities to kind of individually kind of pray over some of the clients, to kind of speak into their life and to kind of encourage them and motivate them along that way. Because a lot of people are dealing with confidence issues, especially if they aren't where they need to be with their credit. You know, that kind of makes you sometimes, unfortunately, feel like a second class citizen, even though, you know, there are some times where, you know, we may not have a credit score, not based on negligence, but sometimes it's based on life circumstances, right? Life hits, life happens, whether we want it to or not. You know, I think all of us at some point have been in a situation where our credit may not have been as ideal as what we wanted it to be. So I never want anyone to feel like they're embarrassed or ashamed, or they need to walk around with their head down low. So I'm there. I'm there to kind of help encourage and to motivate. And again, I'm inspiring and I'm speaking into their lives. And I literally spend time praying for each and every client. So this has become ministry for me right now in the marketplace with what this right. is doing in the lives of individuals. And again, I've done pulpit and platform ministry for over 20 some odd years. But I felt myself at a point where that didn't feel like it was where God wanted me to be. And I just kept staying prayerful about it, trying to determine, okay, is in this point of my life, this season of my life, the age that I am right now, God, is this what you still have for me to do? And so I never really got that, yes, you need to continue to do this, you need to continue to do that. But then this came along and I began to hear a little bit more clearly in terms of the direction and what it is that God needed me to do for this season of my life. Not to say that won't ever change back. I'm open to that. You know, God says, you know, the next week, you know, I need you to go out here, I need you to go preach, you know, I'm open to that.
But this is the thing, as long as you're a willing vessel, you know, God can use you in a lot of different ways. So just mm-hmm. being open to be used by God is really what's important. If it's in the pulpit, if it's on the street, if it's on the phone, a phone conversation, over the phone speaking to someone,
yeah.
just being a willing vessel and having that relationship with God, God can connect you with someone who's been praying hard to help them get out of their situations. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. now God is using us to connect with those people to help them in their situation or out of their situations. And a prayer that they've been going up to God and wanting to try to figure out how they're going to get out of their situation. So God uses us in many different ways. We just got to be a willing vessel and be able to hear from him and be able to connect with people. That's really what's important.
Amen.
That's true. I mean, because I think about, you know, they say the seven mountains. And so, of course, you know, business, economics, that's basically one of them. And so we have to be able to reach God's people, wherever he sends us, because it's not just in church. And we know that, you know, so while you're helping somebody to fix their credit, that's a ministry in itself. And then that's still a powerful testimony, a powerful witness, a powerful tool to use in order to help somebody to understand what God is doing in their life and how he is using them. So that is absolutely awesome. Awesome. I want to say before we go any further that we are streaming this live. It is on also on iKingdom TV. That was our ministry channel. So you can go to iKingdom TV on YouTube. It is also being streamed live on my platform, my profile. And I tried to share it to yours. But I think you had to set up, you had to give it permissions beforehand. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, then don't worry, because we will have the broadcast, the rebroadcast, and you can share it on your platform. You can share it. And if anybody would like to have ask any questions, you can ask questions on my profile or on iKingdom TV YouTube, or you can share it with Dr. Marva. You can inbox us and then we can probably try to get some answers for you. If not, definitely after the broadcast, she will be able to see those and she can get back with you for those answers that she has for you. So I'm looking forward to this. We'll also have it aired on radio as well, but it'll just be, of course, the radio version. So just ready to jump in there and just want to start off what we're going to talk about tonight, and I'm really going to just ask you some questions and let you lead. What we're going to talk about tonight, our topic is going to be the power of legacy, the power of legacy. And so with that, from your perspective, if you will, go ahead and let's just start it off like this. Define what you're talking about when you say legacy. So define legacy for us.
Okay. You want to start or you want me to start? Okay. All right. So for me, now I'm going to say this, because typically with legacy, when we think about legacy, normally that word is used synonymously. A lot of times people will say, you know, building legacy, or they may say building generational wealth. But we normally hear those two things kind of intertwined together. But I want to kind of bring a different perspective to it, because I'm kind of one of those ones that kind of like to give people those aha moments to give them something to really think about. And so, yes, legacy and building generational wealth, we can look at it similarly from the aspect of both of them being something that we pass down or pass on, as we say, from generation to generation or family to family. But I want to throw a different angle in this if I can. I'm a wordsmith. So as I said earlier, you know, I'm an educator. I've been an educator for many, many years, over 20 something plus years, from the classroom to the pulpit to now, you know, doing this financial literacy type of thing with what we're doing in this business that we're working right now. And so my husband always tells me all the time, he says, you know, words mean something. So like when I say certain words or put a certain spin on words, he'd be like, what do you mean by that? You need to be careful about what you say, because words have meaning. So he's absolutely correct. So because I'm a wordsmith, I like to define things. That's the teacher in me, right? So when you think about one of the definitions of legacy, it is that long-lasting impact. And I want us to pay attention to that word impact. It is a long-lasting impact. So whether that's impact of actions, impact of past events, it is a long-lasting impact that typically, you know, it took place either in the past or it's taking place within someone's life currently. And so when we say impact, what does that mean? So here I am defining things again. When we say impact, we're talking about, when I think about impact, I think about influence, right? I think about impression. I think about power. There's power in that, right? When you are impacting someone, there is so much power in that. So when we say long-lasting impact, we're talking about that long-lasting influence, that long-lasting impression, that power that really, in essence, can matriculate from generation to generation. And so what I kind of like people to kind of to think about from that aspect is, you're going to make an impact. Whether you intend to make an impact or not, it just goes with the territory, right? But you're going to make an impact, whether it's positive or negative. There's going to be impact that's going to be made. And so you have to make a determination, you know, what is this impact going to look like, especially as it concerns my future generation? Is it going to be a positive impact? Am I going to have a positive influence? Am I going to make a positive impression? Am I going to have a sense of power that my children and my children's children can remember from generation to generation? Because again, as I said earlier, you know, when we think about legacy, again, that's normally used hand in hand with building generational wealth. And when you talk about that, you're talking about something being passed on. So if legacy is something that is passed on, what is your legacy going to be? So, you know, many times I think about stories, right? When you talk about legacy. So, you know, we're in the holiday season. So we just completed Thanksgiving, and now we're entering into the Christmas season. And what typically happens is, as a family, we gathered around at a table or somewhere in the same vicinity with one another. We're eating, we're laughing, we're having fun. Whatever we do during that holiday season, we're being thankful about things, or we're exchanging gifts. We're loving on one another, whatever that is. But oftentimes what happens is you start sharing stories, right? A lot of times you may recount the time where grandma said this, or granddad did this, or mom and dad. I remember when mom did this and dad said that. You know, so those are things that are remembered. And they're remembered in such a way that it's a long impact. I mean, I'm still hearing stories from generations before, right? Mm-hmm. Stories about my mom and my dad and my grandma and my granddad, all of those. I still hear those stories. And I've actually shared some of those stories with our children. And I'm pretty sure, and I know for a fact, that my husband has done the same thing. And so when we think about it from that aspect, you know, legacy is bigger than just this building generational wealth thing. And we want to get into that because that is important, right? Especially, you know, us being in the business that we're in, you know, building that generational wealth by way of home ownership is important. But legacy is so much bigger than that, right? It's so much bigger than that. When you think about the impact that you can potentially make, I want to give this example, because oftentimes when we think about legacy, I'm thinking about, there's a particular scripture, I think it's over in Proverbs chapter 13, where it talks about a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, right? And so that's generation, children's children. But most times when I'm going to put something else out there as well, because this is, to me, I feel like the Holy Spirit gave this revelation to me, and it's pretty powerful. So inheritance, we normally, particularly for the most part, we look at that as being assets, right? We look at that as being something that you know, our children can inherit, whether that's finances, whether that's a house, whether that's a family business. Again, that goes back to building generational wealth. Those are things that you can pass down. But inheritance, from the simplest perspective, basically it's a process of transmission from a parent to an offspring.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that whole transmitting process. So when you think about transmission, it can go even wider, even deeper than just assets, right? What are you transmitting? So I'm gonna give this example. I'm thinking about this because again, we're talking about legacy. We're talking about things being passed on. And oftentimes we think about that from a tangible aspect. We think about that from something physical, whether that's money exchanging or a business or whatever that is. But based on what I just said, right, it can be intangible. So I'm going to give this example. So my parents, as well as I know with my husband's parents, they value education, all right? But they didn't have an opportunity based on the era that they were in and circumstances and things that they were faced with. I know my dad was born around the 1920s, like 1924, 25, and my mom was 1933. So although college was there, the opportunity to attend college wasn't necessarily made available to them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So with that being said, like my father, for instance, was a sharecropper. So it was more important that he tended to crops and the farm and making sure that at that time when he was being raised and brought up in Mississippi, that, you know, the household and the family could be provided for. So that took precedence over an education, right? So that was the thing that was important back then that was necessary. But that didn't mean that he didn't value education. That didn't mean that if he would have had a bigger opportunity to be able to get a college education that he wouldn't have done it. He absolutely would have, right? My mom would have as well as she could have. The opportunity was not presented to her and it never happened, but they still valued it. So what did that mean? That meant that, well, we didn't. So oftentimes we think about passing on something that we participated in. So we're homeowners. So we're like, okay, we're going to pass that down to our children. But it can even be something that you've not physically touched, you've not physically done, but you value it in such a way that you see the need to still instill that, to transmit that to your children in hopes that they gravitate to that, that they grab that, that they do something with it, and then changing the trajectory of the family line, right? Where that could have stayed the same, where they didn't do college and we maybe didn't do college and maybe our children didn't do college. But instead of that, they instilled it in us. We went to college, finished, right? All three of us, because it was my sister's the eldest, then there's my brother, the middle, and then there's me. And we're in two different generations.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, they finished their degrees, more than one. And the same thing with me. Why? Because it was instilled. It was important. It was something that it was embedded in us. And even when I went to a place where I didn't do what I should have done right out of high school, I went to college, but I was more enthralled with the idea of being on a college campus. I was more enthralled with, you know, doing the things that people do when they go to college, right? Then I was about the actual academic education that I could have received. But then when I got that brain shift and I kept being reminded of what was instilled on the inside of me, I quickly changed that around. And as you know, I went on to complete the bachelor's, the master's, and the doctorate degree. And so, and both of my children have gone on to finish college as well, our children. So my point is that legacy is so much bigger than just the tangible things. It is what we're instilling. It is what we're passing on. It is what we're putting in the forefront. It's the influence that makes the biggest difference in our life that could change the trajectory of the future generations to come. And that's how I kind of view legacy from that perspective. Did you have a different?
No, I agree with 100% with everything my wife said. One thing I want to put out and put in your listener's mind, as my wife mentioned about transferring tangible, intangible assets, non-assets, these things that legacy that we're passing on from generation to generation. Well, the flip side to that is a generational curse.
Mm.
So be mm-hmm. mindful.
Yes.
My point to the listeners is be mindful. We typically talk about legacy and we think about it in a positive way. Well, your legacy could be to continue a generational curse as well.
Mm.
So we need to be mindful what it is we're passing on to the next generation. And if it's some things that we need to cut off, some things yes. we need to stop, if we're transferring some negativity, if we're tangible, intangible, feeding into past generational curses that we're not passing on to the next generation, we need to be mindful of that. So legacy is not always a positive thing. Legacy can be a negative thing that also comes in the form of a generational curse. So we want to balance that out. We want to be mindful. Yes, we want to always, as parents and as relatives and those that we care about, to pass on the positive things as well. But be mindful that you're not passing on that generational curse.
Absolutely. That's good.
That's it, you know, because a lot of times, like you said, people think about legacy and it's just, oh, you're following in someone's footsteps and you're going to be just like your father or just like your mother. And we don't think about the things that we have to pass on. We don't think about the things that we leave behind. And that was a good point as you brought up with the generational curses, because even with that, you know, we have to be careful, like you said, that we're not still walking in those things. Now, as the ministers of the gospel in us, you know, we know that we can break those generational curses and we can model a better life for our children.
Absolutely.
And let them see that in all areas, all aspects of our lives. So that legacy that you're talking about, let's stay with that a little bit. And if you will, tell me what is the importance of creating a sense of legacy, and it's, you know, for our community. And it doesn't matter. I think it could go wherever we are, but just, if you will, what is the importance of creating that legacy?
I would say for me, the importance of that is we go back and we think about, you know, the things that, again, I mentioned my mom and my dad, how they didn't have some of the same opportunities that we have the privilege to have today, right? For various reasons, whatever that reason was, they weren't able to have that privilege. And so with that being said, you know, we've made a lot of strides, right? We still have a long way to go, but we've made a lot of strides. And so with that being said, you know, even with the education, that was something that, again, wasn't that made readily available for our community. Now it is something that, you know, if you have the means to do it, you can do it. You can pick where you want to go, you know, things of that nature. And it's the same thing with home ownership, right? That is something that, you know, many, many years ago was not as easy for us to attain. We didn't have the resources. We had certain things that were set in place to kind of prohibit us from really being successful in becoming homeowners. You know, there was a whole process of redlining and all that took place back in the 30s that presented an issue and caused this wealth gap to happen in America and caused us to be on the lower side of the percentages when it comes to being a homeowner. So with that being said, you know, if you have an opportunity to do better, why not do better, right? If you have more opportunity to be able to participate in some things that may have been a little bit harder for your previous generations to do, and that they laid the groundwork and they expressed the importance of these things being done, and now we have the opportunities to do these things, you know, why not venture into that? It's extremely important, you know, because again, it goes back to, you know, we're setting up, why wouldn't we want to set up our future generations, as you mentioned, Apostle Des? Why wouldn't we want to be that example? Why wouldn't we want to set them up for success, whether it's financial success, whether it's academic success, whether it's professional success, you know, economic success, spiritual success, you know, all those different areas. Why wouldn't we want them to have a better sense of life than what we have? You know, why wouldn't we want to help them to be set up to be able to achieve those things? And so I think in our community, it's extremely important because, again, some opportunities we didn't have opportunity for, now we do, you know, so take advantage of it is what I would say. Anything you wanted to add?
Here's the thing about legacy. Legacy is something that you bring with you or just passed on from the past. Mm-hmm. But legacy is also something that you can start here now or in the future. Legacy is giving a piece of me and giving it to the generations to come. What's important to me, I pass it on to my children, and they then pass it on to their children. That's a part of me that is important to me enough to pass on to my children, and then they tend to pass it on to their children. And so legacy is something that from the past that you carry into the future, but legacy can start at any point. If legacy with our children, if there's something that's important to them, well, they get to now add that into the legacy, not only that they're carrying on from us as parents, but they get to instill a piece more of their legacy into their children. So legacy is just, I feel legacy is a standard. Legacy is something that I can give to my future generation without me being here. So legacy is something that's carrying a piece of us into the future. And hopefully that's the best of us as we're passing on to our children. So legacy is just simply a piece of me that continues to continue to be passed on in the future. When I'm dead and gone, there's still a piece of me that's being passed on to my future generations.
I like that, what you said. It can start right here, right now with us. Yeah. It can start, I mean, it has to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so it's that, and it plays into that whole thing that you were talking about, like with generational curses. If it starts with you, it can end with you.
Absolutely.
And that generational curse can end with you. And then you start something new. You started and then you allow your children, you bring your children into it and your children's children. I love that scripture that talks about that, because that is something that is very important for us. We have to understand that, you know, that God, he wants us to have the best of things. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be able to live our best life now. He wants us to be able to enjoy right here on earth some of the things that he has for us. And so with that, we have to position ourselves and position our children so that we have those opportunities available to us. So you coming into this and now being a mortgage loan originator, I want you to tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us how, as a mortgage loan originator, how does that legacy, how does that play a factor?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, you know, as a mortgage loan originator, basically, you know, we're that individual that is either with a bank, or with a credit union, or with some type of lending institution. And we're the one that's interfacing with that client. So when they decide, you know, they're ready to start this home ownership process, we're the one that's kind of having that dialogue, that conversation with them, determining what their goals are, determining what their needs are, helping them through the application process, and then coming back with, okay, this is what you're either pre-approved or pre-qualified for. These are the type of loans that are available to you. And this is what this is going to look like by way of possible closing costs, you know, down payment, and all those different factors. So we're the ones that's kind of in the forefront. You know, there's a realtor that's showing the homes and the houses, but then they have to get funded, as you know, for that house. And so that's where we come into place. So this idea of legacy for me.
Let me jump in there and ask you. Okay, so from that aspect then, you also then help people to with their credit, because obviously, credit, you know, I mean, you know, this is something that we have to deal with. Mm-hmm. Your credit score is the one that's going to ultimately determine whether or not you're qualified. And so you also help people to get their credit. Okay. So I just want people to get that understanding, you know, I know it's probably simplified and probably common sense that, of course, you have to have a good credit score, but the thing is, with a good credit score and not just a fair credit score, because you can purchase a home with, you know,
fair credit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's that when you have that good credit score, then that helps with what the interest
pays. Yep, absolutely.
So it's important for us to also realize that in the world that we live in, unfortunately, you know, I think there's that saying says credit is king or something like that. So you got to deal with that.
Right.
We'll come back to that because I know we'll give you all your information at the end. And if people need help with that, not just with purchasing a home, but with getting their credit together, then you can give that information. So, okay, go back to letting us know how legacy plays a part in that. Again.
Well, it's huge, right? Because it's even, you know, you brought the credit aspect of that in as well. And so, again, that is something that we hope to teach our children a better way, right? A lot of us, when we were brought up, we weren't necessarily given financial literacy, right, from our parents. They didn't necessarily sit down with us and talk to us about having good credit and how to establish credit and how to maintain credit and what credit is going to look like for you in terms of purchasing a house or getting a car or getting credit cards, you know, interest rates being higher as a result of you not being credit worthy. We didn't necessarily have that dialogue or have that conversation coming from our parents. But now there's this opportunity. So as being in the industry that I am, and in particular, is this the battery going down? I'm sorry, Pastor Dan, I'm getting up. It's darker in here. I don't know if it looks darker to you, but he's working on it. But so now there's this opportunity, right, to educate people that I come in contact with as it regards financial literacy. And then in hopes that now they get that, and then that becomes something that they can then begin to educate their family about. And again, it goes back to changing the whole trajectory of a person's life. And so that is ultimately my goal. I want to get to families. I want to help families. So it's like that. Teach one, reach one. You know, if you can teach one, you can reach one, then you would then be able to reach others as well. So it's that whole process, and me being a part of the business opportunity that I'm a part of gives me that unique opportunity to be able to, like I like to say, take them from credit to closing. So yeah, you desire to own a home, but are we positioned to be in a home? You desire to own a home, but do we have what we need in order to get to that part of the process? Well, that's where we come in, right? That's where we're able to assist them to get it where it needs to be, educating them through that process, coaching them through that. And then once they get to where they need to be, now they can shift through that part of the program, because it's a full home ownership program, by the way. So they can shift from that. They can then qualify for down payment assistance, which is helping with the financial piece of it, right? Then they move over into the loan process. So again, all of that ties into legacy, because again, during this process, what are we doing? We're educating them. We're giving them financial literacy, putting them in a better situation so that they then can begin to share and dialogue that gets passed down from generation to generation, and they can then begin to change the trajectory of their family's life. So instead of that being a continual thing, like my husband said, where there's a generational curse, and from generation to generation is poor credit. From generation to generation, there's debt. To generation to generation, you know, there's this whole misconception or lack of understanding as it concerns home ownership. We can begin to change that. So being able to be educators in this process, in the roles that we're in, is helping us to build legacy in our community.
Okay. Amen. All right. So that's awesome. And again, because, you know, you can't hardly get anywhere without credit. So, you know, based on your credit score, and, you know, going a little bit off, you know, I know like over some in other parts of the world, they have a social credit score, you know, and I'm like, I'm praying we don't get there. Right. We don't do any crazy stuff like that. And I mean, even with the credit score that we have now, I think, you know, that it probably need to be revised a little bit, but that's a whole different topic for another, another time. Cause I know I delved into that a little bit years ago, and still have a whole bunch of pamphlets and things like that on how to fix your credit and things like that, you know. And you know, that's very important, and you need that. You need to make sure, you know, at least once a year, check your credit, your credit history and find out what is on your credit, what's affecting your credit, and then either fix your credit. Well, there's nothing to it. Just go ahead and fix your credit.
Right.
Okay. Right. So in the business that you're in, I understand that you're currently part of this massive movement that's helping to build legacy families. I'll say like that, helping to build legacy families. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the movement, we call it an initiative. It's called 75 for All. And basically, it is an initiative where we're taking it across the 50 states. We believe that anyone who desires to own a home deserves to own a home. It doesn't matter, you know, what nationality they are, what race they are. It doesn't matter. If you desire to own a home, you should be able to own a home. So what we're doing is we're actually building this throughout the whole 50 states. We're training people. We're credentialing them. We're partnering with a credit union that's federally chartered that allows us the opportunity to be able to originate loans in all 50 states. And so with that being said, this 75 for All movement is designed to help to level the playing field. So now, I kind of indicated a little bit earlier that, you know, there was a process years ago back in the 30s that was called redlining that kind of attributed to the wealth gap of what we see in America today. And that you can go actually pull that up on Google and you'll see different maps in different neighborhoods. And so basically what that looked like was, you know, they had all these different communities, all these different neighborhoods, and they were color coded. And so you would have one section of that map that would be color coded in red. And that would be the section that was deemed as hazardous. And so the lending institution wouldn't want to lend to neighborhoods that was deemed as hazardous. But what it ended up being was a discriminatory practice, because the areas that were color-coded in red were actually color-coded in neighborhoods that had minorities, the predominant minority population or lower income families. And so that meant that those that resided in those areas were denied home loans, because the lending institution would come back and they would say, we're not going to give loans to these areas that are in this red area. And so that went on for 30 some odd years. They finally illegalized that in 1968. And the Federal Housing Commission or Federal Housing Administration at that time deemed that it was illegal to do that, which then opened up the doorway for minorities to be able to then be able to have a better sense of achieving home ownership. But that went on for so long, it kind of left our percentages still on the bottom of the totem pole. So they're still low. So again, this is something that can be researched. You can go look it up. So when we talk about percentages, and so we say 75 for all, what does that mean? It's not a black white issue. It has nothing to do with that. It is an equalization issue. And so what that means is, if you desire, no matter what your nationality is, if you desire to own a home, then you ought to be able to do just that. So the percentages, the basically the way that it looks, again, this happened as a result of the redlining. It pushed the percentages way down, and some certain communities didn't have an opportunity to participate in the wealth that accumulates through home ownership. So when we look at the percentages, we have the highest percentage, 73%, are our Caucasian brothers and sisters. We have 60% Asian Americans. And then it starts trickling down way low to Hispanics. Now we're looking at about 49%, and then the African-American community is about 43-44%. So again, the whole point is to let's levelize it. And how do you levelize that? You educate. How do you levelize that? You get out into the community and you talk about the importance of building generational wealth. We talk about the importance of getting rid of, like my husband says, generational curses. You know, we educate about credit and how credit is important and how we need to be credit worthy. And we put them in a program that allows them an opportunity to get their credit high enough to where now they can look at being qualified and they can get into the home that they desire to get into. So that's massive. It's a huge undertaking. The goal is over the next 5 years to we will, is what we say, we will, we speak affirmations. We will have 1 million people, new homeowners, over the course of the next 5 years. So again, the goal is to get people credentialed in all these different areas across the globe, all 50 states, and put them in position to be able to educate in the community, be able to help people with credit, be able to get them into the home ownership process. So With that being said, this is a whole home ownership program. It's called Own Easy. And we call it Own Easy because we're helping to make home ownership easier for everybody and anybody who wants to get into a home. And so there's partnerships to make that happen. We have a partnership over here on this side with Credit Restoration, a legal plan that we have that we're assisting people to get in position through that same process that trickles down to down payment assistance. When you're ready, you come out of that credit program, you move into the loan part. Now we're in partnership with a credit union, Capital Federal Credit Union. We're in partnership with them, and we're the ones that's helping, again, them to get into a loan and to qualify for that loan. And so, again, it's a whole program. It's a whole initiative. It's exciting. We're excited to be a part of it because it really is designed to help anybody and everybody who desires to own a home. So again, 75 for all, that stands for the percentage. Well, we want to raise it to 75% for all, for everybody. Again, it's not a black and white thing. So everybody, so Caucasian, 75%, Asian Americans, 75%, Hispanics, 75%, African Americans, 75%. We want everybody to be at the same level playing field. So again, we give them opportunities where opportunities may not have existed before in the past.
All I can say is that's awesome. So let me ask, you said this is something, a movement that is going across all 50 states. So does that mean that you can be licensed in different states, multiple states? So
that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. So the way that it works is because we're chartered with a federally chartered credit union. That means that that credit union, like we use the credit union to purchase our home. We don't even live in a state with that credit union. It's not the same credit union that I'm partnering with now, because this happened before I got involved with that. But there was a credit union out of Georgia. We no longer live in Georgia. We're affiliated with them. But because they're federally chartered, that means that they can originate loans in all 50 states. Mm-hmm. So what that means is, instead of you having to normally individually, if you were individually trying to get into this industry, you would individually normally have to take a state exam. Whatever state you're in, you pass that. By the way, that only has a 50% pass rate, not very good. But if you pass that state exam and you pass that coursework, then that typically would mean that, okay, now you can originate loans in your state only. Like you're in Florida, you would be just licensed there in Florida. But when you're in partnership with a credit union that's federally chartered, because they can originate loans, anybody that does loans through them automatically gets granted that 50 state privilege without getting all these separate and paying for all of these different separate licensing exams and licenses and credentials and all of that. You get credentialed with them, and then you automatically can then originate loans in all 50 states. So that's the beauty of it and the blessing in it.
Okay. And I pretty much asked that because I have friends that are in real estate from different states. And, you know, they want you to help promote or, you know, talk about them. And it's like, well, you know, I get the questions sometimes. It's like, well, why do I want to be a part of them? I live in Tennessee. They live in Texas. They can't help me, you know. So I understand it's a little bit different, you know, with selling it, but you still got to find that one person that can help you get over that first hump of even qualifying to purchase the home. So with this movement that you're a part of, the 75 for All and the Own Easy program, if someone wanted to reach out to you for your services, or even if they want to become a part of this movement, can you tell us how they would be able to contact you?
I don't know if you have the business card I sent you, but you can put that up on the screen if you do. But they can contact me more than one way. They can feel free to give me a call. I don't know if you want me to share that number or if you're going to put it up on the screen, but they can give me a call. They can email me. They can DM me. They're connected to me on Facebook. Those are the three different ways that they can get in contact with me if they want more information, either to become a client or to become a part of the movement.
Okay. I had that.
The number's popping up. I see that.
Yeah, the number, and I had the I had the business card. Trying to forget. Well, we'll make sure, I'll make sure that it does come up. I'll put it up on the screen after when we leave from here. But what they can contact you. You said this is your number, 678-823-3993. And I just want how you talked about testing. How, just real quick, how difficult or how easy is it to actually get into to doing this?
So from, it depends on if you're talking about from a traditional sense or if you're talking about the way that we have it set up, which it's a better route, which is what
getting
we're
involved with, getting involved with you all.
Okay. So, so basically that would be a conversation that we would need to have offline, but there is coursework. So there's an online course that they would have to complete. And they would finish all the different modules that are there. And then they will also have to go through a criminal background check, which is a federal background check, where they will have to get fingerprinted with that. And then they will get established with an NMLS number, which is the National Consumer Access Database. For those of us that are credentialed to originate loans, we should be showing up in that database. So if you ever are looking for someone to do a home for you, you should go into that database, populate their name. You'll know if they're legitimate or not, because it'll populate their name along with their ID that they have to have in order to work in this industry, along with the lending institution that they're affiliated with. So if someone were to go put my name in, Marva Brewington, it would populate my NMLS number, which is 2511752, with Noble Heart by now. And it would show Capital Federal Credit Union as that lending institution that I'm involved in. But again, that's a federal background check. There's coursework that has to be completed. There's a criminal federal background with fingerprinting. And then there's, the NMLS registration that has to take place. So it's not as challenging as it is the traditional route. We don't make our testing hard. It is, again, online coursework that's completed. And then there's online training, continuing education that we continue to give those individuals that are linked up with us to make sure they stay on top of industry standards and guidelines and all of those different things.
Okay. And so I can see it now.
Yeah,
it's up there. And I know it's not very large, but we'll get it up there. But you can get in contact with her again with that phone number, 678-823-3993. You can look her up on Facebook. She's Dr. Marva Brewington on Facebook. And do you have an email?
Mm-hmm. It's right there on that card. So they can use that one there. It's mbrewington@capitalfcu.org. So that is the email that's attached to me at the credit union. They can feel free to use that one to reach out.
All right. And so with that, again, we're talking about that power of legacy, that power of building, that power of legacy. And it is so important that we know and understand that this can be done. It's not beyond us. And because we know who God is, He can help us in every area of our life. And He wants us to be successful in every area of our life. So I thank you for coming on and sharing this with us. And this is a movement that I assume it doesn't have an expiration date. So it's not like, oh, well, you got to get in this before the end of the year. It's something that is ongoing and it's going to continue. So be sure to contact Dr. Marva or Stan and make sure you start your legacy today.
Yes.
So with that, I just want to give you all any last things you would like to say.
Well, I would say this. We had the privilege of talking to quite a few people. And there are some people out there that have a sense of they're not worthy of a home. they never thought about seeing themselves in the home. Mm-hmm. Because of credit issues, financial issues, there are people that are afraid of moving out of an apartment, out of their apartment into a home. So we've had the privilege to educate people like that and to bring them into a place where now they see themselves differently. Mm-hmm. That's the ministry in us and the excitement that we get out of talking to people. So my message is to those people. Don't count yourself out.
Right.
God can do wondrous things, but it's your responsibility to seek out and find those people that God has placed in your lives to help you get to the next level. Yes. Everybody deserves a home.
Yes.
Everybody deserves the opportunity to get into a home. My wife often used this example. If you're paying rent, and it's as expensive as rent is today, it's going up, up, and up. COVID has affected us in a lot of different ways. And one way that COVID has affected us is everything has become more expensive because there's demand out there and prices are going up. But if you're paying your landlord monies to rent every month, more than likely, you can use that same money to get into your own home.
That's to
start your legacy.
Yes.
To start that generational wealth that you can pass on to those that's coming behind you. So to those people, if you feel like that you can't afford a home, that you're not worthy of a home, you've just never seen yourself in the home, this plan is designed for you. There's an opportunity for everyone now to get into a home. So we just want to say, hey, if you're one of those people, or just anyone in general that wants to get a home, come to us, talk to us. We think we can help you. And if nothing else, we can educate you in the process and help you get on the road to home ownership.
All right. And that is so, so very important. So again, be sure to contact them. You can connect with Dr. Marva on Facebook, Dr. Marva Brewington. Pastor Stan, are you on there as well, or is it connected?
Right, I'm new to the business. I'm coming in behind my wife, so everything is set up right now through her. But that's the first step, is to reach out to her, and then we'll take over as a team.
All right. Well, with that, again, a thank you for coming on and sharing this with us. Look, 75 for all. We want to make sure that Own Easy, because it can be an easy process. So we want to make sure that you, if you desire to be in a home, that you are positioned to do just that. And so we have the people that can help you get in touch with her. Come back on to our pages and you can find the information, or go through the replay. You can find the information. Once again, Dr. Marva and Stan, I just want to thank you for joining me here for Kingdom Living today. And with that, I just say thank you, and until next time.
Okay, right. Thanks for having us. All right, thank you.
God bless.
God bless. God bless. So again, thank you for joining me here for Kingdom Living today. Be sure to connect. Look for the opportunities in your area, but by all means, contact Dr. Marva or Stan, and just know that you can be in a home today. God wants to do great and mighty things through you, and he wants you to have the very best. So until next time, this is Apostle Des right here for Kingdom Living today. God bless you, and thank you for joining.
Thank you for joining Apostle Des here for Kingdom Living today. To contact us, visit our website at www.ikingdomministries.org. Find us on Facebook at iKingdom Ministries or on YouTube at iKingdom TV. To send a donation online, go to iKingdomMinistries.org or contact us for Cash App, PayPal, or Zelle. Until next time, be blessed.